have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Some people said that I wouldn't be here today, but look at me, look at me. I made it, yeah, by the grace of God. When I sit down and look back down through the years, I have to shed so many tears.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the biggest costs that most of us incur is either purchasing or leasing a car. Some people enjoy the car shopping experience and seek to get a new car every 3 to 4 years, while others, like myself, are comfortable holding on to cars well beyond that time. Whatever your preference, at some point, most people must evaluate whether it is best to lease or purchase their vehicle. We all see those ads that spark your interest in a new car when they talk about the low monthly lease cost. However, leasing isn't right for everyone. Leasing is most beneficial to those who claim their car or truck as a business expense on their tax return. Nearly all leasing expenses attributed to business purposes can be deducted on your tax return. Additionally, if keeping money in your pocket is your primary goal, a lease may be a good option. Purchasing a car will require a greater initial cash outlay, and the monthly payment for a car note is much higher than it is for a lease payment. On the other hand, by purchasing your car, you retain the equity in the vehicle that may be used toward your down payment of a future vehicle. And if you keep your car for several years after it has been paid off, you now have the opportunity to take what you were paying in your monthly note payment, and you're able to save it. In contrast, as a lessee, you essentially are just renting a car, as when the car is returned at the end of the lease, there is no value retained by you. When you take the residual value into account, the real cost of the lease is actually higher than buying. Given the low upfront cost, a lease can be the right decision under certain circumstances. If you decide to lease a vehicle, you should consider the total initial payment, including the down payment and any extra fees, the amount of each monthly payment, number of months in lease terms, and the possible additional charges at the end of the lease. Your ability to get good lease terms is heavily influenced by your credit score. So-so credit means a bigger down payment and or higher monthly payments. Just as it pays to shop when you're buying a car, it's also wise to shop around for a lease. Make sure you compare costs for identical vehicles. A lease with low monthly payments and a hefty down payment might cost more overall than one with lower monthly payments but no money down. The decision to lease or buy should be made after considering your overall short-term and long-term goals. In either case, you should be diligent in shopping for the best deal possible. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Detroit-raised, Georgia-based pastor, music director, and singer William Murphy specializes in stirring praise and worship hymns that fuse old-school gospel with urban CCM. He initially gained wide acclaim, providing the soaring lead vocals on the modern gospel hit Praise Is What I Do, off his 2005 debut album, All Day. Murphy has earned 2 Grammy nominations and several top 10 gospel albums, including his 2016 live album, Demonstrate. Born William Henry Murphy III in Detroit in 1973, Murphy grew up in a religious household, the son of Bishop William H. Murphy Jr. and the grandson of Pastor Dr. William H. Murphy Sr. Raised in church, he developed a love for singing, and by his senior year in high school, he knew he wanted to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the age of 23, he was ordained as elder in his father's ministry and served in a variety of functions, including minister of music and executive pastor. In 2001, he and his wife, Pastor Danielle Murphy, relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, where he began serving as worship minister at New Birth Missionary Church in 2005. He followed up in 2007 with an equally well-received album entitled The Sound. Recorded live, Murphy's major label debut was God Chaser. That arrived in 2013. It debuted at number 3 on the Billboard Gospel Albums chart. It also earned the singer his first Grammy Award nomination for Best Gospel Album, Settle Here, which debuted at number 1 on Billboard's Top Gospel Albums chart. Colin Luther Powell, born April 5, 1937, an American politician, diplomat, and 4-star general who served as the 65th United States Secretary of State from 2001 to 2005. He was the first African-American Secretary of State. Prior to the election of Barack Obama as president in 2008, he and his successor, Condoleezza Rice, were the highest-ranking African-Americans in the history of the federal executive branch, by virtue of the Secretary of State standing fourth in the presidential line of succession. He served as the 16th United States National Security Advisor from 1987 to 1989, and as the 12th Chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff from 1989 to 1993. Powell was born in New York City in 1937 and was raised in the South Bronx. His parents, Luther and Maud Powell, immigrated to the United States from Jamaica. He was educated in the New York public school system, graduating from City College of New York, where he earned a bachelor's degree in geology. He also participated in ROTC and received a commission as an Army second lieutenant upon graduation in June of 1958. He was a professional soldier for 35 years, during which time he held many command and staff positions and rose to the rank of 4-star general. He was commander of the U.S. Army Forces Command in 1989. Also in 1989, President George H.W. Bush appointed General Powell as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The post is the highest military position in the Department of Defense, and Powell was the first African-American officer to receive that distinction. General Powell became a national figure during Desert Shield and Desert Storm operations in Iraq. As chief military strategist, he developed what became known as the Powell Doctrine, an approach to military conflicts that advocates using overwhelming force to maximize success and minimize casualties. He continued as chairman of the Joint Chiefs in the first few months of the Clinton administration. Colin Powell passed on Monday, October 18, 2021, from complications due to COVID-19. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, P.J. Morton and Jay Moss, Repay You. 9, Israel and New Breed, Hymn of Breakthrough. 8, Mr. Talkbox featuring Jay Moss and Little Byron, Never Leave You. 7, B.B. Winans, In Jesus' Name. 6, Jonathan Nelson, Manifest. 5, Damon Little, Stand Up. 4, Jermaine Dolly, I'll Go. 3, Jason Nelson, Residue. 2, Tamala Mann, Help Me. And our new number one song comes from Kiara Sheard featuring Karen Clark Sheard with Something Has to Break. Well, that's your top 10 songs, our tribute to Colin Powell and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. I am so glad to be able to talk to us tonight. Hello to all, in Jesus' name.
I'm good, but your mic is really low. I can barely hear you. You fell away, my brother. But I'm good.
Does it sound better?
No, you're like, you sound so far away, like you're in Mexico.
Well, I'm trying to get as close as I can to the mic so that we can make here, and I pray God, you might want to turn up your headset. I'm all the way up. Is anybody else having trouble hearing? Having trouble hearing me?
It's kind of hard to hear you.
Yeah, you sound a little distant.
All right. How's this sound? How's it sound?
It sounds like you're in an empty warehouse.
I'm sorry. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm doing the best that I can. And if I don't plug this thing up, I'm not going to be able to hear it at all anyway. Anyway, is there anyone else that's here that's with us tonight? I'll fix this. I got to.
All the lines are open, and we do have Chanel Robinson on.
All right, Sister Chanel Robinson, so nice to have you. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Here we got you. All right, I'm trying to adjust my sound even as we speak. I got to plug this phone up. Listen, we are going. I do want to say this before we move on, and I can't, even if you text me anybody, I won't be able to hear you. All forms, whatever I have to put the podcast with, so my phone is closed at the moment. But nonetheless, we want to take a minute, think about this for a minute. I know October is about to end. This was a dual month. It was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it was also Domestic Violence Month. I know we didn't talk much about it during the course of this particular month. So much we had going on here, and for those of you who are here on TikTok, this is a radio podcast, and we appreciate you stay with the content of what we're going to talk about tonight. We love you, and we want you to be here, but we're not going all over the board tonight. Might as well just get that in your mind right now. We want you to stay. We do want you to stay, but we are not going to be spreading out like peanut butter and jelly. Not tonight. Nonetheless, going back to what I was saying, Cancer Awareness Month, we did get much chance to talk about it. And so, Sister Kimmy Kim, after Pastor Paula Henderson prayed, can you just give us a little bit on breast cancer awareness? We all know that you were a survivor of breast cancer awareness, and it's better to talk about it than you. So if we can do that in that order, we'll get to what we're going to talk about tonight. I just want to take some time to address this. I don't want this month to go out and we don't say anything. So Pastor Henderson, would pray us in. I would say great.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, oh God, how you kept us all day long, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for you brought us to this moment, even right now. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this platform, oh God. Oh God, to be able to talk about your word and talk about issues that face people in life, oh God. We just thank you, oh God, for being a light for you. God, give us, oh God, what to say. If somebody will be encouraged tonight, if somebody will be uplifted, that somebody, oh God's life will go forward, oh God, because of your word. Lord, we give you praise and glory for each one on this podcast tonight. Have your way, oh God, like only you can. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hello?
You're muted. Mike.
Okay. So you want me to give a testimony of my journey?
Well, talk about it. However the Lord gives it to you. So one of these moments.
How what?
You have an audience.
I'm sorry.
Help them.
I just can't hear you. That's why I'm asking. It's really hard hearing. It's really hard hearing you. I'm sorry. What was the question again?
Talk a little bit about breast cancer awareness.
Well, breast cancer awareness is more than just October. It's a lifestyle, especially for women. For me, this was something that came to me unplanned. Of course, most people. So basically, you know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer underneath my armpit back in 2019. Went through 16 chemos, 33 radiations, 2 surgeries. By the grace of God, I'm here, and I'm thankful. I am also a domestic violence survivor, so I represent both. I am a purple, and I'm pink. So with that being said, I just I really believe that it's important that you understand that breast cancer is not only for women, it's for men. So it's good to have a great diet. Stress is one of the reason why sometimes cancer comes to someone's body, because, you know, stress really plays a lot in someone's body. So maintain your stress level, eat a healthy diet. I really believe in working out, taking care of yourself, spend time with yourself, do something that you love doing. Don't sweat the small things, because at the end of the day, we're going to have our ups and downs anyway. So learn how to manage your issues. And when you have a God that we serve, you can give your issues to him and live peacefully. But you have to have, you have to get to that point by constantly developing your relationship with him. Because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't know where I'd be. Because I'm going to be honest, the breast cancer was not my biggest battle. It was my identity. If I didn't have the identity of Christ in my life, I don't know where I would be. So you can have, I mean, you can have all these victorious, you know, trials and tribulations, but without the Lord, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have him. So really that was, I guess, part of Satan just trying to throw some more things at my way. And he keeps on coming. So with breast cancer, make sure you maintain, and also it's okay to, you know, to talk about it. It's okay to go get checked. A lot of the black populations, black women between the ages of 25 and 40, they don't go see the doctor. And those cases are rising, especially in the St. Louis area. And so when people think about breast cancer, there's a stigma that, oh, I'm going to die. There are so many different forms of medicine that you can do. So please take care of your bodies. God do want us to take care of our bodies. We cannot serve well if we are sick. So stay ahead of that. Go to your appointments. Go to your annuals and listen to your doctor. And get a second opinion if you don't agree with that. So that would be my intake on breast cancer awareness.
Amen. And we bless God for you taking the time to share with us. All right, we're going to get ready to go into the scriptures. Can everybody hear me even better?
Yes.
Okay.
Much better.
I'm going to be... I'll be flipping back and forth. I don't have my Monocaster here in the office. It's in the it's at the church. Otherwise, I could be able to put the phone on and we'd be done. Tonight, we're going to go back and pick up where I left off the last time I was here. And again, I want to thank you guys for holding the fort down the other week when I did not get on or was not able to get on. I got distracted work-wise and did not have any time to inform anybody. But before I left a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the subject, you ask for it. And I was coming out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 in the NIV version. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm not going to cover everything that I talked about, because I don't think many of us remember a lot. So I'll just hit and miss here and there as we move forward in the show. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10 says, "And Jabez was honored more than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, 'I gave birth to him in pain.' Jabez cried, 'God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain.' And God granted his request." I want to throw something, if I can call it anything, I'll call it a preposition. And here is the preposition that I want to throw out there. God's ultimate plan for your life involves growth And that growth comes with expansion and responsibility. Now, there is a question that goes with this. The question is, are you ready to experience real growth? And we talked about this during that particular time, and we discovered that in the course of our growing up and in the course of our allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, guard, govern, protect, and correct us, we found ourselves at times facing difficulties in extreme situations and sometimes situations where we had to make difficult decisions and or choices, and that we either made a choice that created what I call a fresh start for us or for our families and for those who surround us, or we made a bad decision that led to the ultimate collapse of a world of familiarity and comfort, something that we've been so accustomed to. And we know people who may have attempted to handle their own situations, people who have attempted to handle their own adversities, and messed up those situations and ended up backing themselves into a corner with no means of escape. These people have found themselves boxed in literally with no way out. And then there are those who found themselves in dead-end jobs, something of a control freak for a boss. And there are those who are dealing with a dysfunctional family where there seems to be incestuous situations running rampant throughout the entire family, and they're trying to work their way through a lifeless marriage, or they're dealing with a toxic relationship that's causing them pain to the point that there are days when they just feel like when they get in their car and go to work, they're sanctuary. But when it's time to come home, everything in them keeps telling them to drive past the house and act like they have no desire to be there. Now, I'm going to hold right there because we talked about a whole lot of other things, and we began to take apart literally the scriptures that we had. Now, in the title of this being You Asked For It, we focused on a man by the name of Jabez, and we learned a couple of things about Jabez, and we found out that he was honored among his people more so than his own brothers. And we found out why his mother named him Jabez in the first place. And we talked about a few things there. So what I'm going to do right here, when I ask this question, what are we asking God to stretch in our lives? Let's compare the life of Jabez, not necessarily to our own personal lives, but let's compare the life of Jabez to situations and circumstances in our lives as well as in the lives of others and see how God works with us. Now, keep in mind, I did say God's ultimate plan for your life involves growth, and with that growth comes expansion and responsibility. I left out accountability. I left out integrity. I left out being God inside minded and Christ centered. So what I'm going to do is set this on the floor. What does it take to get ready to grow? And I'm going to leave it open for whoever wants to go at it first.
I'm going to go ahead.
When we think of people, the first thing I think to myself is you have to be willing to be stretched. I really believe this in my heart, that God will not allow you to be fulfilled until, one, he can trust you with what he wants to do in you, and two, you can be functional with what he chooses to do in you and what he wants to operate through you. So if you're not willing to be stretched, if you're not willing to be functional, then you're not looking forward to fulfillment of what you're asking God for. That's my thought.
All right. Welcome to the show, Apostle Whitlow. We didn't know you were successful. I'm not going to hold anybody accountable for that one. I'm just glad that you... Nonetheless, anybody else?
Yes. I want to say that to be stretched, or as we talk about just growing in God, it is a pain. It is a pain. But I know it's going to sound crazy to somebody, but it's a good pain. They used to have a TV show called Growing Pain.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I mean. If you're going to be stressed by God, you're going to have growing pain. How many of us get up in the morning and take a stretch, and all of a sudden there's a pop, there's a crack, there's a something that comes within our body that in that stretch. It causes the pain, but at the same time, it causes a pop. And we say, boy, that felt good. You know, yeah, who would say that pain felt good? But somewhere in that stress and that it made the body feel better. So I will say a stretch is good growing things.
Amen. I concur with that because when God stretches you, but one thing I noticed, though, when he does stretch you, he would never stretch you to the point that is beyond your capability. And so the stretching sometimes may not feel great, but he knows what is best for you. And one thing I have come to realize in the Lord is that apparently he can trust you with that storm. So even though I don't, I'm speaking personally, even though I don't like storms, I don't know if you guys do. I don't, no, that's not me. They just come. So when they do come, I tend to realize, you know, storms are going to come with God or without God. So I'd rather for them to come with him because he is my battle axe. He is my anchor. He is everything to me. So he will fight on my behalf because it says in Chronicles, the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord. So when he stretches me, it's for his purpose. It's a reason why he's using me. So I count it a privilege when he stretches me now in my walk, even though I don't like the pain. There are times I do ask for a storm break, but I trust the Lord. So it is what it is. But then we have to remember that Jesus paid the ultimate stretching. So that keeps me focused. But it still doesn't feel good. Amen.
Pastor Henderson, what did you
have to say?
Pastor Henderson.
Amen. And just to add to that, in the stretching process, it also builds discipline in your life. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what Dr. Kimmy Kim said and all the others. Because in that process, it may not always feel good, but you know that it's working for your good, and that it builds a sense of discipline. Because in everything in our life, discipline is so much needed to get to the next place, the next level, the next dimension. And in that process, it's building us and strengthening the area of discipline that we can be stretched. Because you know, when an athlete is trying out for whatever sport, he has to be disciplined enough to go through the process of being made strong, his endurance, his tolerance, and all of that. So that helps to make us to a place where God can really trust us with whatever he's doing, whether it be wealth, whether it be success, whatever it is, he needs to know that we are disciplined enough to handle where he's taking us and what we will walk into. And so all of that is part of that stretching process. So it's building something in us. It's building our character. It's building discipline. It's building a love more for God in the process of that for ourselves and for others. So it's such a process that goes on in that somewhat crushing, stretching, long-suffering process, but it's building good things in us. So I look at that as a process where God is also looking to see if he can trust us in the process, that we don't give up so quick because it's not feeling good, it's not looking good, but he's working something good in us.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, I like what you said. I like what everybody said, actually. But I like how you brought in the example of the athlete. Now, any athlete that wants to be at their peak and at their best knows that there are certain things they have to do to get there, the conditioning process. So can we safely say that there is a conditioning process that we as believers have to go through to get to the point and place where God can make us vessels meet for the master's use? Can we say that? Anybody?
Definitely.
Talk to me.
I just believe that all things that we go through, our trials, our tests, you know, when James says, count it all joy when you walk through, we go through diverse temptations or different trials or different testings in life, the kind of joy because it's working a more excellent reward in us and in our life. And so I think it's that, it's that conditioning process that God is burning out the things out of us and strengthening those things that remain for his glory. And so it also helps us to come into a place where we understand who we are, because a lot of times you don't even really know what's working in you until you begin to be conditioned, until you begin to have the testing and the trials and the things that you go through. And then you realize, I can make it through this. I can do this. You know, I've made it through this, so that means I can go a little bit further. It's like that athlete, you know, when he's starting to go through track, you know, he may not know that he can run that far or run that distance, but as he begins to stretch himself to run that distance, he realizes he can go further. So I think that those things that we go through, it shows us also who we are, and it shows God's ability in us to go further. And so God wants to stretch us so that we can get to the place that we really know our true identity in him, so that we can possess what he has for us and to be all that he created us to be in him.
And I'm taking so welcome. I'm could actually be here all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. Paula Henderson.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Go ahead.
It's
funny that we're having this conversation right now, because earlier this afternoon, one of my cousins who is a pastor called me talking about different things they're going through in church, and her herself as a pastor, along with her husband. And I was talking about this same thing earlier today, how it is nothing but a stretching. It is a growing pain. It is a, and I was surprised that nobody said it, but how stretching is also a mindset. It's a mindset. It's an expansion of our understanding in God. You know, I go now with that too, but we're talking in a different light. So when we're being stretched, he's also bringing us to a different mindset, to a different thinking that we can move from, as we said here in Connecticut, that we can move from the thinking to God thinking. And so I begin to share that with her on today, that she's going through pastor syndrome, where she must see that the people have to come to another level. They must stretch, or they're not growing and not getting what God would have for them to get.
Well, and it's amazing that had that conversation today, because I don't know if anybody else on this line has the body of Christ. We are in the information age, we're stretching. But when it comes to our walk with the Lord, it seems like we are standing still, if I could say that. You know, let me switch this over to you.
In our walk with the Lord, we seem to be standing still. We're stretching in terms of information. There is all kinds of information out here on the face of the earth. But it seems like when it comes down to our walk with the Lord, to walk according to what his word says, it feels like we are stagnant, stunted, dwarfing. We remain in what I call midget status. And I mean that what I mean by that is we're having a difficult time practicing what we preach. And I have to say it that way because when we ask God to stretch us, we have to, A, number one, recognize there is one other word I did not put out yet. And I might as well go ahead and stick it in here now because it becomes vital and important. And it's the word commitment. I have to ask, how committed are you to the cause of Christ? How committed are you to walking according to the word, the will, the way of the Lord? Are you looking for the best that God has to offer in your personal life? Jabez asked God to bless him. And we already discovered that when he asked for blessing, he asked for more responsibility. He asked for expansion. Jabez was asking God to give him more accountability. Jabez was asking God to put his integrity to the test, that it may be proven in the presence of Almighty God that Jabez would be a vessel meet for the master's use. When Jabez asked God to bless him, I don't believe Jabez was talking about just himself. Now, turning back to us, how many of us ask God to bless us, excuse me, and yet in asking God to bless us, we have more of what I call the selfish mentality. We, us four, and no more. Me, myself, and I. Or just bless my church, Father God. Just bless my congregation. First of all, it is not yours. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to pray for a blessing for the congregation, pray for a blessing for the body of Christ at large. Does anybody agree or disagree with what I'm saying here? And I'm going to open the mic.
Well, I personally, Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just putting a little statement out there. And I wholly agree. But you go ahead and talk.
Come on, Pastor Whittle.
All I was going to say was I agreed with your statement because I've discovered that God is never moving for an individual. He's always moving for a collective people. And the moment people would realize that would be the God would do things. Even when it comes to praying, the scripture tells us that if any two would agree as touching anything, that they would ask of the Father that it would be done. God is into moving for a collective people and not an individual people. So people who say, oh, well, the Lord's going to do this for me, or he's going to do this for my house. No, God is going to do it for all. If you don't believe me, ask the children of Israel. They all cried out to the Lord, so God didn't deliver just one. He delivered them all.
One more time, Amy. Anybody else?
I agree with what has already been said, and I do believe that is our viewpoint that we have as believers, is that when we are asking God to enlarge our territory and to take us higher and to do those things that we have in our heart, we should be dual-minded, kingdom-minded, and not only individual-minded, as you said, just me, myself, and I, but that God wants us to have a global viewpoint, a kingdom viewpoint. God is concerned about people, and so that ought to be our heart, is that we're concerned about people, that as it blesses us, our viewpoint should be beyond just ourselves. Even in our prayers, we shouldn't just pray just for, you know, ourselves, but we're praying for others. Because God, I believe God wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing. And his name ultimately gets the praise and the glory for that. And so when we begin to reach beyond ourselves, I believe that's what else will lack the blessing to us, because God sees that our heart is not just a selfish heart, but it's a heart that is reaching out to others. And I believe that's important to God, because God is concerned about souls. And I believe Jabez had that. It wasn't just for himself, but for, you know, for his heart, for his family, for those around him. He was looking to be enlarged so that he would be in a position to be a blessing. And that's what God wants his people to be, a blessing, to make us a blessing, that his name would get the praise and the glory for it.
Amen. Anybody else?
Come on. Nobody else? Okay. Well, let's take a quick. Please tell me you can hear me okay.
No?
I ain't sure.
Yep.
You're fine.
All right. Well, I got to make sure, because this my headset is going in and out. I have to get off the headset. I'm trying to go on the speaker. Well, y'all know what I'm trying to do. I'm always trying to do something, right? Anyway. Let's move
remember
on.
You said. So,
huh?
I said, remember you said. Remember you said.
Yeah, I don't think I've quite gotten this thing mastered yet. I'm having issues mastering this thing. It's pretending like it likes me. But let's move forward. Let's just move forward. We'll figure out what to do as we work with this thing. Anyway. All right, so Jabez asked God to bless him. Okay? What happened next?
But Rich,
can we put
with that too what he said? Because I've been trying to understand that. I want to hear somebody talk about it tonight. He said, bless me indeed.
Uh-huh.
What was he really
so
talking about? When he says, bless me indeed.
Talk to me.
I'm trying to find out.
Well, I'm saying, anybody want to tackle that? Anybody want to go after that when he said, bless me indeed? What is he saying there? Think about it. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed.
Okay, listen.
Go ahead.
If I want to use it based upon the premise of what we find in Malachi 3 and 10, which tells us that if we bring our tithe to the storehouse, that we would prove God if he would not open us the window of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there wouldn't be room enough to receive it. So I believe in my thesis of this, or in my studies, that what he's really saying is, bless me so much that I can't stand it. Bless me so much that it brings me to my knees. Bless me so much that a curse can't stay on my life. Bless me so much that sickness can't hang on. Bless me so much that pain can't be my portion. Bless me so much that it makes my mama happy. Bless me so much it makes my daddy want to stay around. Bless me so much that my siblings look at me differently. Bless me that much. Bless me indeed. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Anybody want to add to that or share something from their point of view? Come on, ladies. And I'm not picking on nobody tonight, and I'm not planning on picking on anybody tonight, because I want to
add to what Apostle Whitlow has said, but I want to give everybody else a chance to talk about it. When you talk about the word indeed, bless me indeed, I mean, you know, some of us are getting super spiritual and start breaking up the word indeed. You don't have to break it up. What does the word indeed mean in and of itself? Does it not mean to go above and beyond what normally would be? Something noticeable, something that would cause others to take notice of? Can we agree to that?
I agree. Let me say why I ask that. Because a lot of times in discussing Scripture, in having a conversation about Scripture, I'm talking about believers. Sometimes we see words, but we don't really dive into what that word is saying. And there's somebody out there listening tonight saying, well, I sort of know what a blessing is, but what does he mean by indeed blessing? And I think Apostle Whitlow went there with us tonight on this indeed blessing, the blessing that takes us further than God just giving us a little touch or a little trickle down our back, you know, a little smile on our face. It's that kind of blessing that comes in a way that is unexplainable.
Uh-huh.
Jabez said, I want you to do this thing so until my family can like me again. Mama called him, Mama was named him Pain, or named him You Hurt Me, and no doubt his brothers called him that every day, and they knew what it meant, so they started acting funny with him. You know, anybody else in the family started acting funny. He said, Lord, I want to be blessed so much until my family can turn how they talk about me.
Amen. Now, you know what comes to my mind, Apostle Smith? The scripture out of Ephesians 3 and 20. And we might as well implement that one in here. We often quote this scripture, but do we really listen to what we are saying? It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Everybody that's on this panel today, please unmute your mics right here, right now. I don't want to have to call you, and then I got to wait 5 minutes for you to answer. Unmute your mic right now. The reason why I'm asking you to unmute your mic, how big can you think? Try to help me understand how big you can think. I'll tell you how big I can think after I hear from you. Who wants to go first? How big can you think? So if we're talking about the indeed blessing is not a blessing that has borders. It's not a blessing. Thank you, Apostle Whitlow. It's not a blessing that has limitations. It is not a blessing that can actually see the beginning and actually see the end. It is an ongoing, continuous, eternal-like blessing that flows and flows and flows and flows and flows and flows and flows. So how big can you think? Let's start with the ladies. How big can you think? How big can you think? Talk to me, ladies. Let's start with you. See, I don't like having to call people, so I'm going to start with you, Dr. Robinson. How big can you think?
As big as God wants me to think, because my measure is based on God, and he has given me big visions. And so
Hold it right there for a minute. You said as big as God wants you to think.
Yeah.
I want you to listen carefully because I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help us to understand how to get out of the mentality of our own mind. As big as God wants me to think. If you can think as big as God want you to think. Now, I'm not picking on you, sis. Please understand that. Look at your situation, well, circumstance. I'm not picking. I'm saying this for a reason because we, how do I say this? God, I got to be raw with this. We talk a good game as believers. But when it comes time to stepping out on faith and allowing the faith that God has placed within us to manifest what it is we're looking for, we tend to, like a cheap suit, fall apart the minute the first iota of ostracism or criticism comes our way. We go to defense mode. When the truth of the matter is, if we're thinking exceedingly like our Father, we don't need defense mode because the power of faith working in each and every one of us propels us past that little idiosyncrasy. That's like a little mini hurdle. That would be like a hurdler. If he can't get past the first hurdle, how's he going to get past the next 10 to win the race? He can't do it. So I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to help us to understand what the indeed blessing is. Anybody else? Who's next? Minister Paula?
I'm not going to say reverse. Can I work on that a different way?
Go ahead.
What if the hurdler, because we're talking about God stretching us, what if the first hurdler hits the hurdle, but then says, okay, I did that wrong. Let me get out of here and really make the next few worth the while. And then hit another one. See, that's really what the stretch is all about. And see how Jabez prayed, bless me indeed. Okay, mama is still stuck on the fact that I hurt her, but I'm getting ready to get over the rest of these hurdles and show mama and the family that I am better than what you call me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, when we look at this scripture, the real deal is Jabez is working not on just being blessed indeed, because it's stated in the prayer. I'm not going to mess with it now. But it stated in the prayer, Jabez was looking to be a better person altogether.
Amen.
And
I agree.
And no doubt he probably was doing the best he could. But how many of us know when you're given a nickname in your family that does not help you to rise to a better place? You can be stuck for life.
I agree with that, too. I agree with that, too. But now, again, and I thank you for that, let's tackle it again in the same vein that you just came across. And I want to let's examine that nickname. I don't know what I'd do if Mike gave me a nickname like Pookie and, you know, and all them other little crazy nicknames. But the bottom line is this: identity crisis is what we see. Jabez is breaking an identity that doesn't belong to him. And it is through that indeed blessing that he intends. And it's not just, see, sometimes when we say blessing, money's the first thing that comes to our mind. A blessing is first and foremost spiritual. Then it can be financial. It can be physical. It can be emotional. It can be mental. It can be all of those. So in tying in Ephesians 3:20 with our desire to go exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, which what is Jabez doing right here? He's asking. Am I right?
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Bishop Gillette.
Go ahead.
I want to back to a blessing real quick. The Bible says, be to God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Blessings are always spiritual. Please hear me as I say this. Blessings are always spiritual. And the reason it is because blessings are in the form of words. For when we read in Genesis 1:28 that God blessed them, in fact, it is that he spoke favorable concerning them. So according to what Apostle Smith just said, is when you are given a tag name, it does nothing for you to help you grow into who you are meant to be. So when God speaks over you or when he blesses you, he changes the perception and the persona of what has been hovering over you because that hasn't helped you to grow. So when he says, bless me, indeed, what he's, I believe this is just me going another direction. I believe what he's saying is, Lord, I need you to change my identity, change how people view me, how people think about me. And the only perception can change is by someone who can validate him. And in his estimation, his mom and dad and brothers and siblings could not validate him, but he knew one who could. And so that's why he called on the Lord. And sometimes that's what we're looking for, because we're trying to prove to folk that we are not what people say, but we are who God says. But it takes God to validate us and authenticate us to make people see us differently.
And I appreciate you saying that, because that's the driving point that I'm going to, or thought I was going to, identity. Some of us have an identity crisis because we've not risen above what it is that we are dealing with. I just got ready to start saying that before I brought you in, but thank you, sir. It's out there now. So now, is everybody catching hold of this now? Now, when we say you asked for it, what did you ask for? Did you ask for a change from the identity that most people know you by? Come on. You about to say something, Apostle Smith?
I wasn't, but I am. When you say that, even you watch in the church, a lot of people are putting on a facade trying to become something that they have not reached, that they are not, but they refuse to live in what you call them. So they start to put a dollar that is not them, and they mask themselves, just like during this COVID, they mask themselves
turnover
in a I am this, when they're not really that, and it doesn't fit who they are. You can look at them and tell them and tell that they're trying to be something, but it just don't fit who they really are. But they're
all
just
right,
putting on, trying not to be what everybody's saying.
Again, we're saying the same thing, just different ways of saying it. For years, we have try to emotionalize ourselves into believing that something is that we can, so that people would be convinced of who we say we are. I've come to the conclusion in my little 42 years of being saved and my little 36 years of preaching that if God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. Your opinion really doesn't count, because at the end of the day, whatever my Father in heaven says about me, that's what it is. If he says that by his stripes I'm healed, I'm healed. I mean, thank you, doctors, for giving me a report on what I needed to work on. But at the end of the day, my Father says I'm healed. So I'm going to walk in that, and I'm going to do all I can. And I know it's not easy. I mean, I might as well just say this up front. It's not easy to do, because a lot of us have to deal with what we already said, the obstacles. Family can be sometimes the biggest obstacle when you're trying to move forward and better yourself. Family claims they're in your corner. Sometimes, and I found this out, I found a few friends that have had levels of success, not just in ministry, but in the workforce. And what I found that they would do is they had to excuse family so that they could move forward. And after family saw the manifested vision, now you can bring family back in, because now family understands what it is you're trying to do. And then there are those times when you may not ever be able to bring family back in, and which means that you're going to create a total different family, people who are not biologically related to you, but because they see the vision, they want to move with you because they believe in what it is that you're doing. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk to me. I mean, if God, I don't want to talk too much on the fivefold ministry, but if God tells you that he's going to elevate you to an apostle, and you're, now I'll tell you a great story. This is me. When I first got saved, March 3rd, 1980, I came home and told my mother that I was saved. Here is Rosalie, at that time, Richard's response to me. Boy, you ain't saved. You ain't even satisfied. Now, if that ain't a joy killer, I don't know what is. But I found that I had to keep pressing for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it was over a period of time that she actually saw God working in me, moving through me, and using me, that she became a believer. I believe to this day she is resting in the bosom of the Lord until the day that we are resurrected and the church collectively is brought into the presence of Almighty God for praise and for worship. I believe that's going to happen. But the truth of the matter is, the Rosalie Richard that I first met when I first got saved was way different than the Rose Richard I met some years before she passed on. The same with my own sons. And I got part of that was my fault because I wasn't living a nickel's worth of dog beef. And, you know, I was straddling the fence. But when I started actually truthfully living the life, I began to see the change. So what are we trying to say here? Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would change my identity and the perception of what people see in me or what they think they see in me. Anybody else got anything they want to add to it?
Well, Rich,
yes?
I think the greatest line John Witherspoon ever gave us in a movie was from that movie Little Man. He said he is what he ain't. He ain't what he is, but he's trying to be what he is, but he ain't. See, that's really
words,
what he was saying. A lot of folks are acting or being called or portrayed to be one thing, but they're not really what they're supposed to be because they never had a backing of who they're supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
How can you become something without a past?
All right.
He who does not know his past will never know his future.
Amen. Amen.
So what are you building on? I mean,
that's a good question.
Unless you are, and I don't say this as a put down, unless you are adopted or foster child to a family that gives you a new sense of who you are, you're not going very far without a past and something to build on.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Ladies, Pastor Henderson, Minister Henderson, I haven't heard from either of you in a little bit.
So even though we're talking about his identity, he wanted to change for his family and everything, I also think that in his change in his identity, he wanted to know what God thought about him. Because sometimes we don't know what God thinks about us, and we want to know, because we could be going in one direction, but God wants us to go in another direction.
Very true. I agree. Thank you, Sister Chanel. We didn't forget you. I was just trying to get some of y'all to talk because I'm trying not to make this a monologue. I want it to be a dialogue. And the reason being is, you know, when we say the title, You Ask For It, you know, we want to pull out what is it that we've asked God for. We could say an identity that lines up with his word. Is that easy? Can we establish that, people? Yes, no?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I would like to add something, amen. I agree in part with that, praise the Lord, because I think that it wasn't just a matter specifically about him being concerned about his identity. I think it was a matter of his heart being able to be transformed so that he would have the capacity to receive what the Father longed for him to have, because obviously in his present state, he did not have that capacity to receive or even to conceive what the Father would have thought for him. So he was asking the Father to change me, my heart, change my thought process. Someone said earlier about the mind, it being a change in the mind. I mean, we've gone from just listening to you all, from just trying to identify, well, what did he mean by indeed? What, and if you had to pray something infinitely, what would you ask for if you had the possibility of having whatever you wanted? And I do concur that blessings are always for spiritual, because we are spirit that have a soul and live in this body. But I do not believe that it was just a matter of him being concerned with him changing his identity. It is so more far-reaching than that. And I think that only comes out of our finite limitation. He wanted to not just have a change of identity. I think he wanted to enlarge his life. He wanted to have a greater impact. And it didn't necessarily have to be about his identity or his influence, but just the matter of being able to have the capacity to receive what God wanted for him. And the woman of God said it so quite profoundly, but simple but profound. Sometimes we don't even know. Amen. Sometimes we don't even have the capacity to know in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up about us being spirit beings, because we tend to forget that. Because we're in a natural world, we forget the very fact that our operation should be from the spiritual aspects in every area. Well, I will say this, and I know we're getting close to our closing time. So, you know, we find that he says, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Now, what's the next line there? What does he put up next? What does he say next? Talk to me. What is he saying next? What's the next thing
and
he
says? Enlarge my territory?
Yeah, well, I believe you might be right. Maybe. What do you think?
Yeah.
Enlarge my
territory, right?
That your hand will be with me also.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, hold on. He says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. No, wait. Now, we got to get this. From the NIV, we have a word added there. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Or as the NIV says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. That's the next thing being said.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us want God to enlarge our territory? Everybody on this phone will holler, me. Am I right? No? If I'm wrong, say I'm wrong. If you don't want God to, no, I'm saying if you don't want God to enlarge your territory, just say I'm wrong. Go ahead. I'll wait. Everybody on this line wants God to enlarge their territory. You're saying to God, in essence, I want to go further. I want to do more. I want to be more centered in that which you called me to do. But now the undercurrent to that is we leave out words like commitment, integrity. We leave out accountability. We leave out responsibility. We leave out diligence. We leave out prudence. So many different words we leave out, and these words that we are leaving out become very pertinent in our growth process. You see, we don't learn everything. Here's a good example for me. I never really played football on any real level except Pop Warner for just a short while. And when I got popped, when I got hit, I quit. You hear me? Beating up on me all game long. Anyway, I might as well be honest about it. I went out for wide receiver, and he asked me to do a play called 80 over the middle, which is where the receiver comes, takes about 5 yards, and then cuts in and comes over the middle. See, what they failed to tell me, and I'm going to get back to what we're saying here, they failed to tell me that waiting in the middle of the field, should I be open, is the middle linebacker who is literally going to try to separate my upper torso from my lower torso with a tackle that should be on SportsCenter. See, that's what they all meant. But getting back to the story, a lot of us really don't want to go to that place. We want to enlarge our territory, but we don't want to be committed. And see, if it isn't going the way it's going, I'm going to use this especially for those of you young pastors out there that are just getting started. I mean, when you first start, God gives you a church to plant. You plant that church, and some pastors believe if I ain't got 30 members within 60 days, then I'm not doing God's will. That is not the case. Why are we trying to put a time limit on God when we do things? I'm just using this for those pastors. I have yet to see a leaf of spinach grow in 2 hours. I've yet to see a kernel of corn turn into an 8-ear stalk in less than 45 minutes. And the principle I want to use, and y'all know this is one of my favorite scriptures, so here we go. John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verse 24. Everybody probably knows it by now. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and do what? Die. It abides alone. And if it does die, it shall bring forth much fruit. The bottom line here, folks, is that if you want God to enlarge your territory, you got to be willing to die to yourself. It has to become a sacrifice of yourself so that it could be a sacrifice unto God himself. Anybody want to add anything to that as we come to a close?
Brother Richard, you said something real good in your statement there. I want to ask Whitlow or Westbrook or whoever. You talked about joining that football team, and when you got the hit, you quit.
Almost
the problem of people today. They say they want what God got for them. They're asking to bless me and me, but when they find out that larging of the territory means some hits got to come, they quit. Am I misinterpreting or?
No. You are dead on. You're dead on. Because that's really what we do. If you really look at it, the minute and y'all know, some of y'all know this song. Some of you may not be old schoolers, but if you're an old schooler, we used to sing a song called, the name of it was Stretch Out. And the word says, when trouble comes, storm begins to rise, hold on and learn to stretch out. Here's how we interpret that song in this day and age, the way we are today. When troubles come, storms begin to rise, I'll check you out later, I'm saying bye-bye.
Mm-mm.
We don't change the words. Well, that's what we do. I mean, you got to hold on and learn to stretch out. Let God be all he wants to be in you. It's going to be vital and important. That's exactly what I'm saying, Apostle Smith. That's exactly what I'm saying. That football hit, that first one, was the last one. I needed my brains. You will not be making roadkill out of me, okay? I'm sorry. I found out quickly that I was not cut out for football. All right? So I moved on to something that was a little less violent. Anyway, let's continue on. So, and enlarge my territory. Anybody got anything to say on that portion? Nobody?
Hallelujah.
Huh?
I just would like to add that we were talking about, you know, listening to you, and the man of God, Apostle, said that you weren't willing to take a lick or a hit. But I thought about I thought about the scripture Romans 8, and it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Mm-hmm.
And therein, I think, lies an answer, at least for me, that if the Creator who made me knows the beginning and end of me and is well acquainted with me, already has the blueprint, and all he asks for me to do, and as Jabez did with this prayer, is that I guess what he was doing in that prayer was saying, Lord, I'm surrendering my will to you in this prayer, and asking you to rewrite the script, the divine script that you have for me. And so I would add, man of God, that in my own personal life, and for those that will listen on the rebroadcast who do not have a relationship, but understand that he's already well acquainted with you, there will be suffering. And as believers, we know that that comes with the mission. That comes with our yes. It's a given. But we also know that in it, that we already know the end of the matter, and the end of the matter is that Jabez won and that we win when we take in the position to say yes to everything that the Father wants of our life. Because as you said, I died. So it's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the word of God goes on further to say that all the creation is waiting for us to get our acts together. Amen? That they have, there's an earnest expectation of creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So it's like everybody knows but us. It's like we just have this hard head. Amen. The creation already knows. God has already given us dominion and authority, and I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole. But I understand, just to stay in the context of this discussion, that it is part of the package. And my God, today, as the woman of God said, amen, Dr. Kimmy Kim, I know there's going to be some suffering. It's a given. But I also know, amen, who's at the helm, who's my anchor. So I'm not going to be all ruffled. I'm not going to, you know, be in deep shock. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to get hit, but with the hit, I know I'm going to get back up because the word, we fall, but we get back up. We don't stay there in lulling in our depression and distress, glory to God. It's not like we don't know, because the word is always telling us, hallelujah, these things are going to happen. But we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome, hallelujah, because we have a covenant. We overcome because we know who our God is. So with that, that's all I have to say. Amen. That's what I would add to this. Glory to God.
I appreciate
it. And I'm going to sit down.
All right. I got to fix this phone. All right. We appreciate you coming in, Apostle Westbrook. Thank you for joining us. As you already know, you're always welcome. You don't need an invitation. Just show up.
There's a fight right there.
Nonetheless. Huh? Say that again.
No, I said that is a great fight right there. That's the best. That's one of the, a great way to fight the battle of God. That's a good fight. Yeah. I like what Apostle Westbrook said. Yeah, good fight.
Oh yeah.
Listen,
keep on keeping on.
You have to understand
this as we come to a close. And it's an old saying. Anything worth keeping is worth fighting for. If you have value of yourself as a person and you want to see yourself as God sees you, trust me, the world is waiting right there to take away from you everything God has ever handed you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. Fighting the good fight of faith is what we're required to do. That's a given. I did mention, and you came back and mentioned it again, Apostle Westbrook, Galatians 2:20, and I went through the process last night during our Bible study talking about how Christ should be able to make his home in our hearts. That also is a given. But in dealing with the prayer of Jabez and in talking about you ask for it, we have to take into consideration what it is that we've asked for. I mean, these four things he asked for, we can go through them and scientifically take them apart, scholastically, eschatology, we can do the whole 20 yards. But what it all boils down to is we're asking for the best that God has for our individual lives. We do thank each and every one of you for joining us. I want to thank Apostle Whitlow, Apostle Smith, Apostle Westbrook, Pastor Henderson, Minister Henderson, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Sister Chanel Robinson for coming in and for being with us. We hope and pray that you will come back as we I want to bring this to a conclusion. Next month we start a brand new month. And I wanted to have this concluded today, but obviously we're just halfway through, so we'll spend one more week on this, unless the Lord says different, and then we will jump to something a little different. I mean, I can let some of you know right here, right now, I think we're going to go right back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and talk about in times like these. That's in 2 weeks, in times like these. We're going to start talking about that. So with that being said, let us pray out. Apostle Westbrook, you joined us last, so I'm going to ask that you pray us out. After you finish praying, Dr. Robinson, please have the music ready. When she says amen, let it rip. Did we lose Apostle Westbrook?
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I had myself on mute. I stepped away. Amen. Glory to God. I'm back. Thank you so much for letting me join you all tonight. It's always a blessing to be with my brothers of another mother. Amen. And my sisters. Amen.
Pray us out.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Don't laugh at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I still hear you laughing. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this forum, for this platform. I thank you for the word that has been disclosed amongst us this evening. But most important, Father God, I pray that those who will be listening on the rebroadcast, and even those that are with us now, Father God, that they have received the word, hallelujah, that it has touched them. Touch the life and nature of yourself within them right now, Father God. I pray a blessing over their lives. Let them be able to cry out, Lord, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Lord, let your hand be upon them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you will open up the eyes of their understanding if they do not know you. Lord God, I pray that they will have an encounter with you, not an experience from this word, but an encounter with you, Father God, that they will have a hunger and thirst to search out the word for themselves of how they themselves can have a blessed life and live life more abundantly in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for those that are sitting on the panel this evening. Father God, enlarge their borders and their territories. Let peace and prosperity be within their walls in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for covering us, hallelujah, with the blood. And thank you for the covenant that we all have been a partaker or a partaker of. Thank you, Lord God, that we continue to walk, hallelujah, headstrong in the word, hallelujah, directed by the word, guided by the word. Oh, my God, that we learn to die daily, Lord God, and lay ourselves before you that you may be Christ in us, the hope of glory, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for tonight and for me being in such a great company of witnesses. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, for all that you are going to do, for all that you've already done, hallelujah, yes, Holy Spirit, for all that you have already done, I say thank you, Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so grateful, hallelujah, to be your ambassadors, epistles read of men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing again. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Once again, I'm standing here ashamed. My sinful ways have caused you so much pain. Doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I ask the Lord if he would change my heart.
I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us today. I so appreciate you coming in. It's time for me to get a little bit of rest because I do have to
change my heart and my spirit to you. Oh, yeah. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. Feels like I'm so deep in sin. There's no mercy. And I ask myself the question. I messed up for so long.
Lord,
And so many times I've been wrong. Oh,
Lord, change my heart.
I wonder if there's any more mercy.
Lord, change my heart.
I wonder if there's any more grace.
Lord, change my heart.
I wonder if there's any more patience. Lord,
change my heart.
As I lay before your face, Lord.